Well, you know, the kicks have been made, right? I think, you know, with Tyler, the thing we understand is when we brought him in and we looked at him, the dude has a strong leg, right? And he's technically, he's sound, he kicks the ball the way we want to kick the ball, and he's been consistent, right? And that's what we're looking for. John, when you look at him, he's been consistent, and when you watch him over his college career, he was consistent. He made kicks, and that was the kind of guy that we went out and said, okay, let's bring in two guys that, you know what, they're consistent in what they do. One might look more powerful than the other one, but the kicks are going in, and that's ultimately what matters the most.
That is special teams coordinator Chris Horton talking on Saturday. I was myself, Beltway Ben, we were out there on Saturday along with Cordell Woodland as the Ravens had their last not padded practice. They're back on the field, excuse me, today after an off day yesterday, and they are in pads. But talking about
the bone is there.
He'll be checking in
on assignment.
Yes, he'll be checking in with us throughout the afternoon and talked about the kickers, and that's of course Tyler Loop and John Hoyland. And I will tell you, Jason, he mentioned the strong leg. It doesn't matter what I'm seeing at training camp, because it matters games. The ball explodes off his foot. Like, it's all top of the net stuff, and he has yet to miss a kick in camp for what that's worth.
It's an awesome start. I mean, look, again, are you going to hand anybody the job based off this? No. But if one of these guys with no profile came in and started crapping the bed early, guess what? It would be a story, and it might amplify and magnify, and it might be, you know, the proverbial snowball in the wrong direction. So it's a good thing, and I hope they both kick well and continue to bring out the best in each other, and that it proves to be a real competition because both are thriving. I think we know who a tie or anything close to a tie would go to, and that's understandable because you're only going to get so much of a sample size this summer, and you've got to go back to your evaluations on them throughout the totality of their college career. And the things you can quantify, like kicks from distance and kicks with wind and kicks in adverse situations, and also things you can't quantify as much, like to your point about how the ball explodes off the foot and how quickly does it reach its arc. And then there's just things like body language and how they conduct themselves and how confident they seem walking around your building around these premier athletes every day. So, this is a great thing for the organization that so far so good. It's very early days, and there are going to be bumps in the road. This is not going to be a magic carpet ride for either of these young men, I don't think. But this is one of the big stories with this team.
Yes.
The biggest issue with this team is special teams. And it's not particularly close. And it's not just endemic to two no-name kickers. There's a punter involved. There's return units involved. There's coverage units involved. There's individuals who make boneheaded mistakes and penalties. There's a lot to clean up on special teams. But figuring out the kicker situation is certainly a big part of that.
Yeah, kicker's the headline, obviously, because a guy who was arguably the greatest kicker in the history of football was let go unceremoniously as he had off-the-field issues. He's a bit of a creep. So they needed to replace their kicker for the first time since 2012. So that's the headline. But the reality was they were four return guys a year ago, and their coverage teams weren't good. And to punt return guys.
Well, across the board, you look at special teams EPA overall effectiveness, only San Francisco was worse, and that's factoring in everything. Specialist, return, coverage, all the above. It was a blight for them. And again, it has to improve. It's a focal point of their summer diligence. We've mentioned before, it'll be interesting to see if they jerry-rig situations in these preseason games to put these kickers in positions where that's the most pressure you're going to get simulated is the exhibition games. No, that's nothing like a regular season game with the standings at stake, but it's as close as you're going to get in the meantime. So we will have a fine eye towards that. But they do put a lot of effort into the evaluation part of that. And they have been, you know, we talk about Tucker a lot for obvious reasons, but they've identified other off-the-grid kickers and punters who've gone on and had decent careers or some semblance of a career or put a little money in their pocket doing this for a long period of time where, let's face it, there was no room at the end here because they had a great punter and they had arguably the greatest kicker ever. So It's not like they stopped evaluating. It's not like they stopped being involved in those the scouting of those specialists. And they did a pretty good job doing that, even when, again, they knew those guys weren't going to make this team unless there was a catastrophic injury.
I'll say this, and I'm curious if Beltway Ben agrees with me on this, but being out there on Saturday, and it was the last day without pads, they're in pads today, frankly, it was... And
you can't get anything out of it.
It was boring because it's like workmen, like they don't have a whole lot of issues. Like they're, God forbid, injuries, but beyond that... It was not
nothing to extrapolate.
Yes, it was a whole lot of okay. It's good to see guys on a football field again, but there's not a whole lot. Ben, did you agree? Like the fact that that Looper was hitting the top of the net every time was kind of cool. But beyond that, what'd you get out of Saturday?
Yeah, the only thing as you talk about the kicker competition, which feels like it's over. But even that, like if the Justin Tucker situation didn't happen and you didn't have any drama there, like there would be nothing. Like the kicker conversation is really the only thing you're looking for. When they were going live, it was just kind of lazy. Like they were just going through the motions.
By the way, for people who care about this thing, according to our friend Jess Rebeck from The Athletic, not practicing today, Rashad Bateman, Jair Alexander, Bilal Cohn went down early in practice. Looked like he went down on his shoulder. So he's not practicing today. And obviously Emory Jones not practicing. Interesting about Bateman and Alexander because they had an off day yesterday.
And Bateman scheduled to talk.
He was scheduled to talk today. Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully that's just something, I mean, whatever. Something maybe not even football related. Who knows? So we'll obviously get you guys the latest on that. Harbs does talk today, right?
Yes, Harbs talks today, and so he'll talk tomorrow as well. And Bones there.
And Bones on the case.
Yeah, Bones.
And if anybody is going to find out in real time what's going on, it's the Bone and his 500-page – 4 foot by 3 foot marble notebook.
Yes,
he's got a notebook that's bigger than his chest.
Yes, he does know how to cover a camp practice.
Well, or he doesn't.
Or exactly 180 degrees from that.
Correct.
Yes. So,
but he's there.
Yes,
and he's on the case.
And we will hear from him around 3 o'clock. So we have a busy show. We're done early. Orioles and
hopefully
Blue Jays.
He has something to talk about.
Yes. Orioles and Blue Jays start a 3-day, 4-game series, split doubleheader tomorrow. That first game's at 6:30 tonight, so 5:30 BBT, Ryan Ripken and Bob Haney. Guest-wise, other than the Bone, Bridget Condon, NFL Network, she was out at Ravens camp on Saturday. She'll join us to talk about the Ravens, the NFL at 3:30 from NFL Network. Jim Duquette, we are 3 days
Hall
away from the Ted IA Hall of Famer. First time on the show since being inducted in the Hall of Fame.
This completes the loop, right?
Yes. Everybody
else. We'll have the new class all joining us.
He's a 4.
Yeah, obviously a lot going on with the Orioles this close to the deadline.
Yes, and IA Hall of Famer Jacob Calvin Meyer talking O's at 5.
Big series.
Yeah, Blue Jays.
Big series for the Blue Jays.
Hey, Blue Jays are 5.5
the
games
best team
up
in the American League.
And if not for getting blown out yesterday, and by the way, Scherzer actually low-key pitched well, 7 innings, 11 Ks, but they lose 10-4.
Couldn't hit the general, though. I'm surprised by that.
General. By the way,
cost me some money yesterday. That guy, man, he's still... The general's still on my S list.
Let me ask you a question, because you
that's
were,
general one.
Yeah,
we got general one and general
I
two.
I want to get to that. You were the person who dubbed Flaherty the general, and then when Tyler O'Neill missed a couple games with general soreness,
this is catching
people
on.
Started
his
to
legs.
Take your nickname and put it on Tyler
I'm
O'Neill.
Fine with
how
that.
Did you feel with
I
that?
I think he's very. If there was ever a worthy successor,
I wanted
to
make
the
sure.
mantra of general soreness to be handed down from Flaherty to anyone. I think Paul Bunyan's the perfect guy for the job. I think
it's funny. I call him Popeye.
You really could not have constructed a better successor. We had the pitching version of General Soreness.
Yes.
Now we've got the DH version of General Soreness because he ain't an outfielder.
Yeah, he's homering 3 straight games, Jason. Now that the season's over, he's starting to hit. His OPS is better than Colton Cowser's.
Well.
That's saying, so that shows you, that's an indictment on Colton Cowser right there.
Or he's just who I told you he was.
Maybe. He better start getting on base.
He is what he is.
Purple rain in the forecast coming up next. And Saturday was coordinator day. We will hear more from Chris Horton and from Todd Monken next here on The Fan.